Blog Talk Radio. This is Audrey Scott Williams, and you are now listening to Wisdom Teachings of the Grandmothers on Now Time Radio.
Time when the beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning. A time when we must die to ourselves to be reborn into the light. Grandfather Sun and Grandmother Moon, birth Mother Earth in the full power and presence of absolute unconditional love. And in unconditional love, Mother Earth in turn bled the seed of humankind throughout her land. Over thousands of years, humankind evolved to mankind and claimed dominion over all. Sun consciousness without sun consciousness. And the mother was raped of her innocence and all her wisdom denied. In their unconditional love of the daughter, Grandfather Sun and Grandmother Moon proclaimed that at the end of the 12th season of life, mankind would be no more. In her unconditional love of her children, Mother Earth pleaded for their survival. Our grandparents relented by decreeing that at the end of the 12th season of life, a call would go out throughout the world. And should enough people heed the call for the one to return to the one, a new and mighty generation would be birthed. Humanity in its highest form, fully rooted in its inheritance of unconditional love, would reign.
Greetings from the Grandmothers of the Four Directions. This is Audrey with another message, another reading from the Grandmothers. Those of you that have been following the readings, this now is reading number 6. This particular reading picks up on the last reading where there was a conversation with the Grandmothers, and you can always refer back to that on our YouTube site as a reference for where we're going. But primarily the grandmothers were talking about the importance of understanding that as we're shifting from third dimension into fifth dimension, we're passing through the fourth. And it's important to understand that the fourth dimension is the bridge. It is a dimensional bridge, if you will, that allows us to let go, if you would, of what was those things that hold us back, to move forward into the new energy that will propel us forward into the fifth dimension. Primarily, this bridge prepares us to shift from a connection that is so tight that holds us bound to what it takes to live in third dimension. And let me give you some examples of that. in the bridge space of the 14th dimension, here we go, 14th, that's another whole channel way down the road, but in this fourth dimensional bridge, it's not what we know that's important. So the first thing is releasing our attachments to what is known or what we perceive as knowable. And that opens us to access the unknown and unknowable from a third dimensional standpoint. It also allows us to release expectations, because if you don't know, how can you expect? And the only way to access the unknowable is to release an expectation that's built on a third dimensional belief system. And fourth, from this, in this bridge, is the releasing of our connection to time as we know it. Time, which pretty much follows 24-hour cycles, whether you're looking at any of the calendars, whether you're looking at a lunar calendar or Gregorian calendar, what have you, is connecting actually to a cosmic calendar that precedes and predates both of those calendars. So there is not the calendar as we know it in terms of timekeeping. So we're releasing our connection to time. Why? Because as we go from fourth to fifth dimension, what happens is what we understand as time is over. It shifts completely. You enter into a space of eternity. And that is because as our physical bodies are made pliable and made possible to make this shift, we then enter an eternal realm. And for those of you that have been studying the holographic information, if you go back to Now Time Prophecies, there are specific drawings that indicate the holograms, the holographic passage through which we've come. Then you'll begin to understand that nothing in us is outside of the experience of the universe. Therefore, as we shift into the fifth dimension, the limitations that this particular physical suit that we wear in third dimension, it can't hold us. It can't sustain the energy nor the vibration. What happens is, as we move to that, if we do not allow our light bodies to emerge, we find an increase in disease and disruption in the basic organ systems, in the basic skin itself, in the basic immune systems that it takes to hold the shell together. There's no wonder there's an increase in immune deficiencies on the planet at this time. So what does that mean? It has, so in this bridge space, has implications and ramifications way across the board. Let's start with the physical. The physical bodies now need to be prepared. We need to be prepared in the sense of moving away from the foods that weigh us down into the foods that allow us to move forward in much more lightness, not light as in bright light from the sun, but lightness as in weight. We're talking about weight now. So we're looking at more of the vegetables, more of the source protein that comes out of the vegetables and root fruits that and vegetables that we have on the planet. We're looking less and less at meat-based eating habits, only because the meat that we currently manufacture is not prepared in a way that the meat itself is meeting its light body. And so then the weight of that is holding us down. So as we begin to transition from a heavy, dense state to a lighter state, we'll be able to hold the higher frequencies and vibrations that are necessary for us to access knowledge and wisdom in a way that we haven't before. All right? So remember, food holds memory as well as what's in our psyche. Understand that our relationship to food holds a certain course of energy that's based on many, many, many years of belief systems. So as we release that, then what we're doing is we're allowing our light bodies to emerge. The other thing is that releasing the way we are in relationship with one another. In this sense, is we are accessing now the crystal clusters. So opening ourselves to be aware that those who are our soulmates, who we've traveled before, especially when these folds of time, dimensions have occurred, we've traveled together. The power of the crystal clusters coming together is that the collective body of wisdom, each one having information that is so important, this collective body of wisdom helps us to know how to navigate. It helps us to remember back to source. It helps us to utilize the holographic information that is in us by removing the smudges, if you will, of third dimensional reality, those things that separate us from ourselves and from the world around us. The other energy that is so important right now is understanding that moving from a self-based awareness, now we talked about this a little bit in previous channels, moving from a self-based consciousness is perhaps one of the most important things. In third dimension, everything is built around the identity. Everything is built around who we are, who we perceive ourselves to be, who the collective perceive ourselves to be, and that's how we measure everything in our life. That's how we measure our success, our failures, our goodness, our badness. All of that is in that context of identity. Some call it the ego. But it's the story of who we are, who we think we are, who we think we can become. Within that story is so much limitation as we bridge from fourth to fifth dimension. Because your story is not who you are. Your story will not hold. Because as you bridge from third dimension into fifth dimension, you'll find that who you think you are is nothing. Is nothing in the bigger story. Because what truly is happening is you are leaving the identity, your story of who you are, that makes your ego function in a certain way. You're leaving that, transcending that as you ascend. And as you do that, you are now connecting with not the self concept, but the source concept. So you're no longer living to serve yourself as in third dimensional consciousness, if you will, and whatever gets served, you served yourself, and maybe through that you'll serve some others and you'll help the world and everything goes well. Well, in the bridge space, it's about understanding yourself as source. And so there's nothing outside of belief. There's nothing outside of the knowable and unknowable. The polarities begin to collapse upon themselves because they don't exist. So this fourth dimensional space is giving us what we need to begin to shift, not only mentally, psychically, from an electromagnetic field, all of that, our mental, everything. This gives us the space now to make this transition. The other thing is that in the space of source, it's no longer about what we do for ourselves that enables us to do for the world. It's now a complete flow of service. A complete flow of service, because it is an understanding that if you succeed in the old paradigm, then you got it. You know, if you're the best at whatever you do, you've got it. But that's not going to work in the fourth dimension as you're moving into the fifth. In this bridge space, who has to get it? Everybody. No one left behind. Why? Because the consciousness of the universe is perfection. The consciousness of the universe is about creation. Now, from a physics standpoint, we can understand that everything has a chaos theory. Everything succumbs to chaos theory as we understand it in third dimension. But in fourth dimension, moving into fifth dimension, there is no chaos. Understand that. There is no chaos. Everything is in the process of perfection. Whether it's in its birthing cycle, whether it must die out to allow a greater cycle to come forward. It doesn't even express itself like that. I'm using third dimensional language to try to bring forward a concept that in the natural flow of the universe, there is no polarity. Things don't exist as good as or bad. They exist. And they exist for creation. The source energy of the universe is in love with creation, is in love with the experience of creation for the higher and higher and higher attainment of all life. And that's the other thing. When we move out of the self-contained story of who we are, we're able to embrace the bigger universal picture of what we are a part of, and indeed who we are, because then we are it. Everything is in this process. The trees, the grass, the animals, people, stones, crystals, everything is in this process. So in this space then, of a universal awareness and connection and essence of all things is where we reside. Now, why is that important? It's important because as we make the shift out of this story and bridge ourselves into the next story, our concept of life expands. Our concept of what is source even shifts. And it shifts at a time when the entire universe is awakening to a greater aspect of itself. In other words, there is an energy of creation that is as big as the last Big Bang, if you want to think about that from a third dimensional story, the last Big Bang of the universe. Here we are again. There is another Big Bang in the universe that is occurring. It is about the outsourcing of all that is through every entity that exists at a cosmic, whether it's a simple nuclear particle to a planet or a star. It's all happening now. We're going to see tremendous shifts in how we even can visibly hold the world. Colors are going to change and become much more electric, if you will, from a third dimensional standpoint. What we are capable of as physical beings now is going to be so much bigger because we are bigger. We are bigger because we are not only accessing what we can do with the physical body, but now our electromagnetic sphere is so expanded that we can work from those extremes of that energy as well, and every space in between. And so the most important thing we wanted to deliver today, if we take nothing else away from what we're talking about, is that there's an incredible expansion in the universe, and that is being mirrored in the expansion of yourself. There are things that you can do to support yourself right now physically. We talked about diet. We also talked about relationships. Looking around to see if the relationships that you are engaged in truly mirror where you're going. That's part of what we're shifting now, because we have to make way for the crystal clusters to come together. And that means relationships that support you in your process. The other thing is the mental tension that will be created in this process, because our mind wants to stay with our old story. Our mind, our mental body, is the most committed aspect of who we are as human beings. It holds our stories no matter what. So we can't make the shift by relying on our mind. So we have to understand that sometimes things are not going to make sense. In fact, most times from here forward are not going to make sense from a third dimensional story, from the mind. The only place it will make sense and give you comfort is when you slip into the heart, into the zone of the heart that allows, right here is where your field of energy expands out into the universe, uninterrupted. Nothing can stop that flow. So not only is it expanding out, it's bringing in. So reliance on the mental has to shift. It's going to be a gradual, incremental process. As we always say, be gentle and kind with yourself and with others in this process. Also, be aware of what energies support you in this process and what energies are not supporting of you, because you will not be able to hold on to those relationships. It doesn't mean you don't love them, and that's important to get to, because in this bridge space, it's all about love. It's all about service. It's not a self journey. But be kind with all people, but allow yourself to bring in those those people, those spirits on the planet right now that you have traveled with through time eternal, especially at the points when major shift and changes were happening on the planet. It's in that collective gathering of the crystal cluster that the work that you're here to do to help humanity make its shift, and it's not just humanity, it's all life, it's the earth, it's the cosmos, that collectively you hold that memory. It's very important to get. When you come together, it is the energy that flows through your DNA, and it's not just energy, it is actual crystalline formations that act to magnetize the knowing, okay? It's the combination of the crystalline formation in the DNA with the saline solution, if you will, of the universe that allows the language between the crystals to begin to communicate. So the crystal clusters then get a whole nother level of communication that does not come from the mind, but comes from something that gets unlocked within the very DNA of each person. So again, today, the bottom line is opening yourself to expand. Opening yourself to know that change is here. To trust that. To believe that. No matter what others say. Things are so potentially filled right now. The planet is like a woman in her 9th month of a pregnancy. Any moment, the great boom is going to happen. The great birthing is happening, and in truth, it's happening in the incremental process. But remember this, when it's time for a baby to be born, it's not the mother's body that signals the child that it's time to come. It's the baby that makes the decision for the moment of birthing, and that is biologically true. So here we are. We have to ask ourselves, are we ready to access the bridge that is right there before us? Are we ready to move forward in the wholeness of who we are? It's going to take faith. It's going to take trust. And remember, everywhere you go, you are now in service. At every level, serving in the self by allowing the great expansion to happen. Service to each other by recognizing who we are. Service to Mother Earth and to the planet by always accessing that which is available to help us to create, to become a part of this creation experience that is bridging us from the 3rd dimension to the 5th dimension. Be gentle with yourself. One step at a time. Breathe. Take the time to just release, release. It's a constant state of release. On the one hand, as memories are flooding in, on the other, okay, it's a constant in-breath and out-breath. And with that, we say, to God be the glory.
What do you want to say today? What do you want? No. Time started slipping away. Hey, when we started getting old, the rainbow never lost its true meaning. Indigo children arrived. Prophecy to be born. Do you recognize the signs? They're all around you. Time to shine that light and break out from the norm. The universe is calling you to raise your daughters and sons. The universe. There's some healing work to be done. The universe is calling you. Build a legacy of love. The universe is calling you. When you gonna pick it up? Whoa, life is so much more than that 9 to 5. It's so much more than the zeros and ones. We're living out of tune and rarely feel truly alive. When's the last time you walked barefoot on earth and with open arms and breath to sun? There's a miracle in your eyes, it's reflected in the sky. See, we are the rainbow children sent here to unify. You may not see it yet, oh no, but it's coming, oh yeah. I sing these songs to cry. Your daughters and sons, the universe calling you. There's some healing work to be done. The universe is calling you. Build a legacy of love. The universe is calling you. Tell me when you're gonna pick it up.
Makua Ray inviting you to tune in to Sound Synchronicity every Sunday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Now Time Radio.
Visit our website, 13moonwalkforpeace.com. Be informed so that you can join us on 11-11-11 as we walk into Atlanta from the Freedom Park to the King Center, leaving Freedom Park at 10 o'clock in the morning, arriving at the King Center at 11:11 that morning. So come join us. There'll be events that evening at Morehouse College. You can check out all the information on our website. Again, it's 13moonwalkforpeace.com.
Now Time Radio.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven, my home? When God is my portion, my constant friend, He is He. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He. because I'm happy.
Oh, and I say
unrelenting in our knowing that the human spirit is so much larger than the stories that we hear. We have slept in homes that were Christian and homes that were Muslim. We've been in Hindu temples. We've been in indigenous communities. We've lit sacred fires. We've done sacred water ceremonies. We've been deep in the belly of Mother Earth and as high as the Himalayas. And in all of that, we have been loved, we have been cared for, we have been protected, even when we arrived in the middle of the bombings in Mumbai, the trail angels, we always call them trail angels, those people that just show up and say, don't worry, we've got you. So no matter what the situation or the circumstance, we have found love. And I really honestly believe and know in my heart that if we begin to tell that story long enough, loud enough, to as many people as we can, as many places as we can go to tell the story, what we will do is help people to remember. Because we are all there. Every day we wake up, we stand in a field of common values. Love, peace, joy, compassion, right action. We all believe in the possibility of humanity to evolve to its highest place, or we would not be sitting here right now. So when I say a circle of one, what I'm really speaking to is that. For us, peace means passionately engaged, affecting community everywhere. Passionately engaged, affecting community everywhere. And we don't say what community. You know, one of the inspirations for the 13 Moon Walk for Peace was our return from the World Walk. After walking across six continents, a little exhausted, I would say, a little out of our minds by the time we get into it. But you know, out of your mind is a great place. I remember when I started on a path, you know, I was one of those fast track to success, young African American women out to change the world, headed towards presidency of a college. By the time I was 35, that was my goal. So at 35, as a dean of continuing education, I hit my brick wall, raising three sons, finishing my doctorate, and being a dean. I finally woke up one morning, saw a spot on the floor, picked up a cloth, decided I'd clean it, bent down to clean it, and had a heart attack. Got kicked right in the heart. What a great way to open. You know, what a great way to open. And so at 35, I had a very important decision to make. Am I here to live my purpose, or am I going to die trying to live something else?
I didn't take that lightly, because literally for me, either I was going to live my purpose or I wasn't going to be here, and the doctor made that very clear. But what I wanted to say is, in the transition to not only discovering what is my purpose, I had to take a big leap of faith. Because in order to be in my purpose, I had to change. I had to change in me. I had to change. And so all of a sudden, I'm like, well, what does that mean? And I didn't know. But one day, going to work shortly after that experience, I had this sense, this voice rose up in me. And when I say rose
up in me, I mean rose up in me. This voice rose up in me and said, let's go and go in faith and all will be well. And so I'm riding to work with the knowing that I'm going to resign that day. Now, I hadn't said anything to my husband. I hadn't said anything to anybody because I just heard the voice. How do you describe that? But I did. At the end of the day, I left my letter of resignation. And I said, Lord, I don't know how, but I will follow my dream until I get it right. And that's literally what I did. I began a course of following my dreams from that point on. If it doesn't come in a dream, I don't do it. But if it comes in a dream, I am committed to the vision, to the dream, to the walk. And that's how it began. But I'll tell you one secret. When I was starting to talk about losing your mind being a good thing, on the path along the way, you know how people show up to help you, know you're there. I was saying to an elder, I don't know if I can do this. I said, because I feel like I'm going crazy. You know, and he looks at me quite indignant and he says, my dear, it takes a mad, mad woman to do this work. And so I felt like I had qualified. Let's talk about that moment in each of us, because each of us has a passion. I don't care if we're just coming into the world or think we're about to head out. Each of us has something inside of us, a fire, I call that divine spark, that calls us to action. It calls us to being. And then we have a choice to either align with it or to run from it as fast as we can. And what we find is when we align with it, that we find ourselves in that space of love, in that space of oneness. When we run from it, we begin a process of separation that will chase us the rest of our lives. Because in that place of separation is fear. It is the fear that keeps us from stepping into the power and presence of who we truly are. And yet it's only in that space that we literally have the opportunity to shift the sands of time, to change the world. In that space that we each hold, that if we connect with. And it doesn't always have to be that you're going to take off and walk around the world. It might be something simple in your family or in your community that you're here to shift and to change. And as we are now poised, I think, on one of the greatest moments in the history of our evolution, it is so important that we listen and we act. Traveling around the world and coming back home, I realized that there is something that as Americans, we have an opportunity to bring to the rest of the world. If we can step outside of our fear that makes us think we've got it all. I think that was in your prayer. Sometimes we think we have it all. It was in the song. That we've created this sense of self that is so righteous that the rest of the world has to come up to our standards. But what we found in traveling around the world, that we've been in homes where people had so little, you know, so little, and they would put out a spread for us and the whole community would come out. I mean, little villages in India, in Africa, in the outback in Australia. And people would say, well, when you travel, make sure you don't eat the food. No. We were humbled and honored to eat the food. Because it was love that made that happen. It was the love of community and a deeper understanding of who we are as a human family. Those lessons came in those very poor communities. Not poor in spirit, rich in spirit. And then when we came back to America, sometimes we came into communities that had a lot, but yet would not give anything. So as Americans, we have an opportunity to remember who we are and embrace our greatness and understand that our privilege that we have is a sacred opportunity to teach and to share with the world. And that has to happen with our day-to-day lives. We have communities, and that's why we're doing this walk. When we got back, finding pockets of communities that we might have expected to see, you know, in the outback or in some third world country, if you believe in that. I don't usually like to use that terminology. We have pockets right here in this country. In our urban areas, I can't tell you how many of our peace poles have been planted in honor of young children who have been killed while we watch in silence. I can't tell you the number of times on the Pine Ridge reservations we saw pain and agony and poverty in a way that we're like, is this really America? It feels like genocide. We glorify the Native Americans in so many things, and yet here in Pine Ridge, it's expected that every winter so many people are going to freeze to death in their homes. It's expected that by a certain age, you're just going to be an alcoholic and drug addict and live on the corner there out, right outside of the reservation. It's kind of expected that you're going to lose that sense of yourself in a world that doesn't provide an opportunity. But you don't have to go to Pine Ridge. There's cities and communities right here on the East Coast. And so I'm saying all this not to bring you down, but to help us to understand that the beauty that we are is the answer. It's not the politic. It's not the corporation. It is us. It is us in our own healing. It is us in the extension of our healing to our communities. And it all comes down to love. Love to live. Live to love. Say that with me.
Love to live. Live to love.
One more time.
Love to live. Live to love.
That's simple, isn't it? But when we love, we enter into that circle of oneness where there is nothing that exists outside of ourselves. There is no other. There is no them and us. We understand our mutuality and the fact that our destiny is caught up in that mutuality, as Martin Luther King Jr. used to say. We remember, as Gandhi said, that we are the change that we're seeking in the world. If we're not about the change, we're not gonna have it. We make it together. We are the circle of one. In our culture and in so many cultures around the world, we think about all of the differences, whether it's race, whether it's female, male, whether it's rich or poor, whether it's gay or straight, whatever, whether you worship this way or I worship that way. And we define ourselves in that. And then we draw the boundaries around that to make sure it's ingrained. And then we have conflict. Then we become the judge of what's right, what's wrong, and who's right in their prayers and who's wrong. But we don't have time for that anymore. We don't have time for that anymore. Because right here, right now, we love to live, and we live to love. Recognizing that love has the power to change all things. And I might not understand you, and you might not understand me, but if I love you, and you love me, we're going to take the time to figure it out. And the world needs that. Such simple things. You know, when we walked around the world, we just started collecting these simple truths. Simple truths. I don't care what community we were in, if a child was scared, it cried, and it reached up to its mommy or its daddy. I don't care where we were. If a parent had a promising young child there, and all children are, they wanted the best for that child. Simple truth. And so today, I want us to just sit and think of the simple truths in our lives, because it is in the values that there is no difference. In the values is where the oneness exists, because that transcends all other things, all other separations. So a circle of one, that's what we are, a circle of one. Every time I look at you, I see me. Every time I look at you, I see you, but I see me in you. Every time I look at you, I see you, but I see me, and I see God in all of us. Because we are that one expression. Peace is not very complex. Separation only comes when the fear rises up and we choose to align with the fear, whether it's an internal fear or something else that's placed upon us. We forget how powerful we are in the presence of God. And we're always in the presence of God. We are the presence of God. And so as the 13 Moonwalk for Peace, we're so blessed. And we thank you so much for embracing us here. You have no idea when you're walking, and you spend so many times in parking lots and sometimes on the side of a road. It's just such a gift to come into an area where you can park and you can open up the door and actually walk out and be safe and have electricity. So we thank you. But the call to be here, there was definitely a call, a destined call, if you will. And so we're very grateful to have this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And what we want to leave with you is that simple truth, that love is the answer. But we have to embody the love. And we have to speak truth from that space of love. I want to say that again. We have to speak truth from that space of love. And in speaking truth, we will find the answers for what we need to heal ourselves and our humanity. Just keep remembering who you are. I traveled with these elders, I was saying, and I'll end with a couple of stories from them. One of them was an elder who's now ancestor. In fact, many of them are now gone. But Mr. Haile Makua from Hawaii. And Mr. Makua used to say to me all the time, it's all about choice. I'd say, yeah, but you know, there's all this stuff. And he said, no, it's just about choice. I say, but Mr. McCord, you know, this happened in somebody's life, and this happened in somebody's life, or this happened in my life, and that's what. He says, it's all a matter of choice. Choose. all a matter of choice. Do you want to be here, where separation is, or do you want to be here, where love is? Choose. And then there was Auntie Poi Poi, also from Hawaii. I remember we were traveling, I think she was at, this actually happened in Bali, and Auntie was talking about forgiveness as one of the foundational pieces that we have to work with. And Auntie's also now ancestor, so I salute them both. Her father actually was, grandfather was a healer, kahuna in the Hawaiian tradition, and a man who had been really belittling him in the community, came to him because he all of a sudden became very ill and asked her grandfather to heal him. And so her grandfather said no. And then he had to leave and go to the beach where he sat for days. And then he asked for forgiveness and he cried. And she said, I could never understand why he was crying when he wasn't the one who was bothering the man. The man was the one who was really putting him down. And his lesson to her was, remember, forgiveness is not for him. The forgiveness is for me. Because I ill thought of the man and I know better. I know too much to do that. So he had to pray for the healing for him in order to be able to pray for the healing for me. So I say all of that to say we must forgive ourselves. And any time that we're looking out in blame or judgment of others, just take gentle steps backwards to find the core of that healing from within. And the last story I want to talk about is being with Baba Cradle Mutwa. He taught me a really important lesson, and I'd like to share. He said that there, at one time there was a man in the village who had murdered a couple of people. And so the villagers came to the healers and said, what must we do? And the healers, who are traditional healers, did a divination to find out what they must do. And it was decided that the man who had murdered people would be brought to the village center where a woman was giving birth to a child. And they sat him beside the woman as she went through her process of birthing. And the man tried to run, but they held him down. He was blindfolded as well. And then when the baby came out, they placed the baby in the man's hands. And he began to cry and carry on. But he said the man never would hurt another life, would hurt life at all after that experience. And the reason I wanted to share that is because he understood something that's so important. When someone acts out in our society, it is an indication of the illness in society. So when we look at and want to blame the young people in the gangs or whatever we want to blame, we have to take a break and say, wait a minute, what's happening in our community that we are creating that? And that's where the healing has to happen. And to bring those groups back into circle so that we can be about restorative justice. So I wanted to just end with those three stories because these elders taught so much. And Baba Cradle is still alive, thank goodness, in South Africa. But the teachings are simple truths once again. It's not complex. The circle is only one. It's only us. It's only us. Think about someone that you really don't like. And we know that's not so. But just think about someone that really gets your goat. Just hold that vision for a moment. And then look at that person in your mind's eye and send them love. Just send them love. And hold that love within you. Because by sending them the love, you have already begun to heal the space in you that couldn't see the God in them. Let us live to love. And let us love to live. Let us passionately be engaged, affecting community everywhere because there is nothing outside of us. It's all in here. Let us remember who we are and walk in the power and presence of the greatest love of all.
From the Diary of Now Time Prophecies, Day 40. Creativity releases the soul temporarily. It sets the soul into flight, sending it closest to its conscious experience of oneness. In creative endeavors, you release yourself to the pleasure of the moment. You simply live the moment for the pure pleasure the activity brings. So much so, you often become blind and deaf to anything around you. So it is as you journey from the 12th hour to return to the One. In this timeless moment, the moment of transition, all is possible. To experience the moment, our truth must be lived without thought. Divine action without thought. To know your truth and to live it or not live it is the exercise of the individual's free will. It is about choice. But to know and not live it moves us, the individual, the collective, the planet, and even the universe, further from balance.
Oh, yeah.